Blog Talk Radio.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Well, hello and happy summer. Happy day. And welcome to Time to Love. I'm Lydia, your lighthouse of love, teaching, motivating, and guiding you on your journey to loving yourself. Who else? Today is a very special day. Not only is it the first day of summer, but it is the wedding of my nephew, Kevin, and his absolutely gorgeous bride, Samantha. I was just at their wedding, and thanks to the priest that actually ended early, at least in my mind early, I'm here. And it's a great day to celebrate love. Well, which day isn't, really? Come on. Yeah, you guys know me. Yet, I think that when family and friends get together to support the marriage of two people in love, well, that's really a very special day in my mind. And I believe in marriage, not necessarily in the traditional sense, although that's all right. I believe in love. You guys know me. And when a person loves their own self, which means they know who they are and they love themselves, they really want to share that love. And I don't believe that you have to get married legally with all the legal documents and falderaw that society has pushed upon us. You can. It is entirely up to the individual. I did. I chose to do that. However, taking the time to take the step of commitment to each other, to me, it's a natural progression of love. It's not for everyone. So let that be clear. It's not for everyone. But for many people, that is a natural progression of love. And it's not out of fear, but out of the deep love, which is respect and honor of who each of you are. This is sacred, and I think it should be celebrated. We can do this many ways. You can do it just with two people. It doesn't have to be a big to-do. However, I feel deeply that these celebrations can have some sort of ritual with friends and family as witnesses. And the reason in my mind for this is when the going gets rough, and there will be times when it does get rough, your friends and family can remind you of your deep love. They can be your support. And that's why I believe it's important to have friends and family there so they can be that reminder. And I think this is one reason that photography and now videos are so important. You know, they're reminders of how a couple felt on their wedding day, full of love and faith in that love, full of promise. And, you know, I've seen movies. We've all seen movies. I've actually done, I didn't get videos of my wedding. But, you know, on my anniversaries, a lot of times I go through my wedding album my husband and I do together, and we remember that day and remember that love and remember the youth of our love. And I believe our love is so much stronger now. Each year it gets stronger, and I love my husband more than the day I got married. But sometimes those reminders are very, very important. Now, if you are just tuning in or you're tuning in, I thank you. And if you'd like to weigh in on this, I would love for you to give me a call. And the number to call is area code 646-727-2914. You might want to weigh in on this, on love and marriage. Maybe you have some advice for the newlyweds. I did have a survey. And you know, and don't do it. You know, that's not a, a very good advice, but because it's all, it's a done deal in this, in this, in this one anyway. In this
I have the questions here. If you want me to read them for you to, you know, hit on at any point.
Okay.
You did her survey. You can still go pick it up and, you know, send the information. She could forward it on to her niece and nephew in the future, which is, it's a gift, a gift to somebody, I think, you know, to in their journey in that type of relationship, as offering advice, whether they take it or not, that's their choice. So the first question you had was, have you been married or in a long-term relationship?
And yes, so, I have.
And what does that mean to you? And what do you think is long term? Because that's a loaded question. I've met people who think a long term relationship was, you know, 6 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and you know me, I'm easy. It's whatever, you know, whatever you want to answer, you know, I mean, whatever, if you think 6 weeks is a long term relationship, then go for it. I'm sure in those 6 weeks you learned a lot.
I, to be perfectly honest, as I was writing that answer, I was thinking, okay, let's see, we've been together like, what, like 5 years? I don't know if this is a credit or not. And then I realized that, wait a minute, okay, like 1999 and this is 2014. Oh, no, it's been 15 years. Sad, sad. I don't know. Is time flying? Oh, am I having that much fun?
Yeah, you are. You are having that much fun. So whatever that means, folks, you know, I'm pretty easy.
Okay.
What was the next question?
And then the other question was, how long have you been married or in a committed relationship? Says.
And for me, it's been 29 and a half years. We'll be married 28 years this August 17th.
Wow. So we're about half that. And
yeah.
I don't know how you made it down. I don't know how I made it 15 years.
I know. Well, you only thought it was five. Now you may really be questioning it. definitely.
Okay. Your third question was, what is the best thing about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to answer it. There wasn't a whole lot of people answering it, but like Brenda said, you can go back and you can answer it anytime you dang well want to. And I think the best thing for me is developing that partnership. We both are really good to alone. We both, I believe, love ourselves, although we're constantly working on that. But together, we're even more powerful. And we're just a great partnership in that, you know, we balance each other a lot of times, and we push each other to being better. And we accept when maybe we don't want to even be pushed. But we truly, I believe it's, we're better together than alone.
Hmm.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the two shall come together as one is sort of written in the Bible. And my answer is probably real sort of in a way related to yours, because I said the best thing about it is that I, you know, he's my best friend.
Right.
So.
Right. And I say that of Mike, too. He is my best friend. He is definitely
I tell Gaetano everything. Stuff he just, at one point he said to me, because I said, honey, you know, I tell you everything. And he said, yeah, honey. And he said, but sometimes I wish you wouldn't. And, you know, he laughed and everything, but I'm sure probably meant it, because I would like to speak something to that when I first started my relationship with him, and he actually lives in another state, and we were going to move here or there, whatever, but we finally realized that it was working. Even we were able to make it work, I guess. And my friends here, you know, they're, you know, guy, it doesn't matter where you are, people are always going to pay attention to you. People who think nobody is paying attention to them probably just aren't really being perceptive. But there's always mm-hmm. someone who notices you or is interested in you if you sort of are open to seeing that. And there are a lot of guys, because I worked in a male-oriented job, and there was a lot of guys that would this or that, or I might go out on a date, not like a formal date, maybe to, you know, a movie or something like that. But I told him everything about that. My girlfriends, it wasn't my guys, but my girlfriends were like, why do you tell him that stuff? Don't tell him everything. What are you, nuts? And it's like, my thought was, if I can't tell him everything, why am I with him?
Right.
I mean, I really wonder about anybody who gets into a relationship and they're already thinking there's certain things not to tell them. You may
right.
choose not to tell the person in your life something, but I don't have a fear of telling them something, even if it's difficult. I don't
right.
have a fear of telling him anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
To his chagrin.
to all of our chagrins. You told him that?
yeah.
So what's the next question?
The next question is, what is the one piece of advice you wish... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, sorry. What is the worst thing? What is the worst thing about the long-term relationship, I guess? Or your relationship?
And I don't even remember what I wrote, and I'm not sure that I can think of the worst thing. Maybe,
I can tell you what mine is.
Okay, tell
yeah,
you
go
say
ahead.
It. You go ahead.
Okay. My worst thing is that taking advantage of each other, getting to the point where you're so used to each other, you take advantage of even a single minute. It just, it's the smallest sort of drip that will literally erode a relationship, even though it's just a small drip. You may do it at first when it's sort of a big convenience, you know, maybe you're both, you know, really have a busy day and you run out the door and it's like, okay, I'll talk to you later. Or you run out without, you know, looking back in for that one kiss or whatever, but, or just not even, you know, making the phone call that could take like 1 minute or 2 minutes. It's something that when you first get together, you don't ever do. You know,
right.
Phone calls are like, oh, it's the, you know, it's so treasured. When you're partying, even for work, or you treasure that moment, you know, with the one little kiss or the touch or the look.
Right.
And I think that that's how most relationships get off kilter and begin to erode. It is
well,
like the trip.
You said taking advantage, and my first thought, and I'm not sure if I put this, I think taking for granted. So it's
well, that's,
really the same
that's
thing.
It. That's
and,
exactly
you know,
it. I think that that's taking advantage. It's the reason I say advantage is probably a little harsher, but it is taken for granted, and it's like if you are taking someone for granted in any way, shape, or form, you're sort of taking advantage of the fact that of the thinking that they'll
yeah.
always be there.
You're absolutely correct. So I think that is something, like you said, it can erode. And I actually have, the next question I do know that what that is, and I have lots of advice there. But no, but I agree. It's that you wouldn't even think about it. It's so natural in the beginning. You know, the heart races, you pick up the phone and they're not there and you feel the ache in your chest. And then you, your heart starts pounding when they answer. Just hearing their voice makes you hot, you know. And I know that it doesn't always happen, but maybe working on those type of things, you know, that the feeling of not taking advantage or for granted your mate is a constant. It's something that it's like a practice, like yoga or breathe. It should be more conscious than breathing, but yet like yoga or tapping or praying, it's like, you know, please don't let me take for granted this person that I love so much. I love above all else. And
keep going.
When you have children, I found as a mom, I found it very hard to keep that practice up. And at one point, I realized that when my husband came in the door from work, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I worked in the home and also made pottery, but I would be harried. I would be tired. I would be cooking dinner. And sometimes I'd be talking to a friend or I'd be in the middle of something with Patrick, and I wouldn't run to the door. And when I realized that I wasn't doing that, I made the conscious effort to run to the door. Really, literally. I would run to the door, and I would put him in my arms, and I would kiss him long and deep, and I would say, I'm so glad to see you. And do you know what? I could literally see him brighten. I could see on his face. It was an act of appreciation. I appreciated him. And so I agree, Boo. The biggest thing is to not take each other for granted and to make it a practice. It's more important than your yoga practice or your exercise regime or, you know, many things in life. If you've chosen someone to go through this life, make it a practice to show the other person your love every day.
Yeah. And it's really not that difficult to do, utilizing what you just said. You know, if you are in a relationship with anyone and you actually seek to make them, not make them, because we can't make anybody do anything, but you actually seek to do things to help them feel better, to bring about that smile, you may not always get it, but the whole point is, you're doing something to, you know, bring about a smile or uplift their spirits, either that you know or possibly to find out what things you can do. And that's one way to not take someone for granted. Ask questions, which
exactly.
I actually think most people in relationships don't do enough of.
Well, and also...
Although Guy Donald thinks I ask too many questions.
Yeah, no, you can never ask too many questions, and there are no stupid questions. But, you know, and also to listen to the answers. You know, my husband, he is the most awesome listener I have ever, ever known. And he, you know, to listen to his childhood story, he didn't talk really till 4 years old. And my husband's sister was the first one, Teresa, and to hear mom tell it, you know, Teresa never, she started talking and never shut up. And so Mike didn't talk, and she took him to the doctor because she was concerned. His mom took him to the doctor, and he said, well, does he understand what you're talking about? And she's like, yes, and he said, you know, he's going to talk when he feels like it. And he's like, you know, you're already anticipating his needs, and so he doesn't really need to talk. But I really think it went deeper than that. I believe he was taking every single thing in. And when he spoke in complete sentences, and knowing my husband very intelligently, and then as mom says it, he doesn't shut up either, but he does. He listens so well. In fact, a long, long time ago, we were going on a camping trip, and I see a sign that says Silver City, New Mexico. And I said, gee, I would like to go to Silver City someday. My friend tells me it's really nice. It's an artist community. I would really, really like it. And my husband, I don't know if he even nodded. He was driving. And then several years later, he surprised me on our 20th anniversary, and he took me on a surprise trip to Silver City, New Mexico. And I just love that he listened so well. And he's taught me to be a better listener, but it is not my forte, and I am working on that. I want to listen more. In fact, that's been one of my new, not mantras, my new thing, my self-improvement, things that I want to improve, I do want to listen more.
So it's an aspiration.
Yeah. Yes, it is my aspiration to listen more, and you find out so much, and that's what my husband does. So if you're asking questions, make sure, ladies, I'm going to direct it towards you and men, that you listen. Because if your wife says that she doesn't really like flowers, there's other things she may like. I told my husband early on that diamonds were no big thing for me. My father gave me some diamond studs, and that was all the diamonds I really wanted, and they were actually recycled from his sister's ring when she passed. I like looking at them on other people. They're just not for me. I don't want them. But he knows that, and he knows that instead of diamonds, I'd rather travel. So my husband knows these things about me. So listen to your mate, your husband or your wife, and get to know what they like. And also, as you're listening, don't close your eyes. Keep your eyes open, because you can see on their face going on. You know, if you, like when I said to my husband, here he is driving, but I'm sure he looked over when I said, I would really like to go check out Silver City. I would like to go there someday. You know, and he looked at, and I said it with conviction. It wasn't like, oh, I want to go to Bali, or I want to go to Rome, or it wasn't anything like that. He could tell that that was on my list. I wanted to do it.
See, I think, good listeners, they retain generally something. One of the things with questions are, sort of tagging on to what Lydia said, if you ask a question, then, and, you know, really listen to it. But for instance, if you had said you didn't like diamonds, and then you just, and the person doesn't further the communication by asking why, then you may not really understand what's behind it. So they may not offer if you don't ask. And asking a question when somebody is speaking, after they pose some statement, it actually shows interest, just like what you look like on your face. So whether you're distance, like myself and my sweetie, this is probably why I ask a lot more questions, because I want to know what's behind it so that I understand how important it is. Because people say a lot of things, and we don't always lodge it as something important.
Yeah.
And like your husband, I didn't talk really at all till I was probably closer to 3 or 4, and my grandfather thought I didn't speak and kept asking my mom why. And then my mom also said, after I did start speaking, then nobody could shut me up. But I still go through phases where I don't really talk, and I do a lot of observation, but I was sort of taught to do that when I was very young. So, yeah, I think that's an excellent skill. It's an excellent skill to offer as advice to anyone who's starting out in any relationship or marriage, is to really listen. You know, and if you don't understand, you know, don't take for granted when somebody says they don't like flowers that it's the same reason you don't like flowers or cut flowers or you wouldn't like them. You know, maybe they have an allergy. Maybe they simply don't like to see plants cut unless they're going to be something that's, you know, going to be eaten or something like that. So,
right.
You know, find out why. You know, why is a valid question when your sweetie is speaking to you?
Because, and my husband doesn't know why I don't like diamonds. He knows that.
Yeah. So it took place at some point.
I can appreciate diamonds, but just don't waste your money on it. First of all, you know, I'm at a wedding today, and it's the first time I've worn my rings in maybe 4 months, because I don't wear rings. I'm a potter. I've almost lost them by taking them on and off, so I choose to hardly wear them at all. And that's okay. Husband, he likes to see them on my fingers. He complimented me today about my whole attire and my hair, actually. Ooh, that was a good
one.
Hey.
I'm sure you look lovely. Yeah, Gaetano got me a ring very early on in the relationship, and I was sort of weirded. I don't wear rings. I have really thin fingers, and it always feels like stuff is, I feel sort of claustrophobic when there's a ring on my finger, or it almost always feels like it's bruising me because my fingers, they're thin and bony. The rest of my body isn't, but my fingers are. My dad used to say, did you get that from playing guitar? And it's like, oh, Dad, it's just the structure that you and Mom gave me.
Yeah, you did.
So I understand,
My sister, you've got
people running around in your chat room. Looks like you've got Jules and 33. Do you know who that is? And then also Melody. Somebody named Jules 33. She said you can always put rings on your favorite necklace to keep them close to your heart. Good idea, Jules. Yeah.
That's an excellent idea. I like that.
I think
that sounds really familiar, but I can't remember who that is. So if she wants to talk, that's okay.
Yeah.
On to the next question. Thanks for telling me about the question.
So, was that the piece of advice you'd... was that the one piece of advice you would wish someone had given you for a perfect marriage? We didn't ask that, did we?
No, not yet.
What is the one piece of advice you wish someone had given you for a perfect marriage?
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to read one of the respondents that I got before I drove down to Colorado Springs. And it was interesting. I love this. And I think I know who wrote it now. She said, I have never known anyone with a perfect marriage, but I would want to be told that it will never be perfect. Learn to love each other for exactly who they are, not what you want them to be. That was very wise. Very wise.
Oh, yeah. I bet you that came from Melody.
I know it came from Melody now. I thought
it
came
so
from you.
So totally something she believes in.
Yeah.
I agree
definitely that it's so wise. And I agree that there is no such thing as a perfect anything, really. There's no perfect person or anything. And as I kid my husband, I always say, you know, I'm perfect in my imperfection. And my son, I think I've said this story several times, but it touched me so deeply in my heart when he told me one time. He said, he was saying how he had done some bad things and all that, and he said that he wasn't perfect, and I said, well, you know, I'm not perfect either. And he said to me with that childlike innocence and beauty, he said, well, then we're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean by perfect. I'm not into the perfect illusions, like, you know, perfect hair, perfect makeup, perfect body image, you know, but I am, and I think that is so right. It's like that learn to love each other, learn to love yourself exactly the way you are. And then that is just a natural progression to having people love you for exactly who you are. You know,
right.
When you can do it with yourself, you know, or even if you're on that road, I have not arrived at this place that I want us to arrive at, but I teach what I want to learn, and I'm working on loving myself more and more, and so that's what I mean. But when you do love yourself, when I met my husband, I was on that road, and I learned a lot, and I loved myself. And you can always love yourself more, though. So, and it taught my husband a lot, and he did love me. I let it all hang out with my husband, and it was the first time I had ever done it. And it was like, here I am. This is who I am. Either love me or don't. And he did.
Yeah,
and so,
Jules says in the chat room, to strive for perfection sets you up for a fall. There's always someone better at whatever, and of course not as good as well. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's a pretty. It's almost like a senseless striving when perfection, like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder.
It's
so,
true.
Yeah. But yeah, she also says yes, love yourself more. Yeah. Pardon?
Love yourself. Definitely. I would also, I have a few other things, and then I'll ask you, Boo, what you have. But one thing I would definitely give it as advice is to say I love you multiple times a day. My husband and I say it in the morning, even if we're sleeping. My husband will come over to me and kiss me goodbye, and I open one eyelid maybe, and I say I love you, and he says I love you too. And we say it to our son. In fact, my son, every time he leaves, even if we're fighting, he'll go, bye, I love you. And sometimes I go, I love you. But I always say it. And we say it a lot to each other. Our whole family does. I also believe to spend good quality time together, but don't be afraid of being apart. I think that absence is a good thing at times. And I think taking baths together or showers together is a very good thing.
All right, this is the X-rated portion of the show.
No, you can wear your bathing suit. If you're prudish, wear your bathing suit. No, I'm teasing. I am teasing. No, I think it's really good. And as I also believe, touch often. Touching each other is very important. Touching the hand, touching the shoulder, touching the head, just touch is important. And research consistently shows that touching more creates a stronger bond. That's why you cradle your baby. That's why you touch your baby a lot. And it releases oxytocin. So there's research to confirm this. So touching is a very, very good thing. And also, I do believe that you need to learn to argue productively. You can even say communicate, to learn to communicate well. My husband, he likes a good argument, and I really don't. But he has taught me to argue better and better, much to his chagrin. And I tell him that in my first marriage, I would acquiesce. I would just completely back down. And I don't think that's a very good thing. In fact, my first marriage, of course, ended in divorce. But my husband says that sometimes now he wishes he knew that, Lydia. And I said, no, you don't. she was a wimp. But learn to do it productively. And that doesn't mean by calling each other names or anything. But we took a class, a communications class, and one of the things is to use I statements like I feel hurt when you blah blah blah. I feel frustrated because you won't pick your socks up off the floor. That type of, you know, use I statements, that type of thing. I'm not going to train you in communication right now, but I think it is very important to argue productively. And I personally believe to argue in front of the kids. So that way you want to keep it clean. You don't want to be yelling at each other about, you know, bad names or anything. But because I think children need to learn to communicate. and they need to communicate their frustration, their anger, all of that. And my son, we would argue in front of him, and we would also allow him to see how we resolved it.
Right.
Because, you know, when I was growing up, well, I saw terrible, terrible fights, so I don't even want to talk about that. But what my husband saw, he saw fighting, he felt the tenseness. You know, kids are very attuned. They might not always be talking. They're watching and they're listening. And so they feel that tense vibe. And then all of a sudden, it went away. Or sometimes it didn't, but it went away. And they never got to see how, and we allowed my son to see, you know, we didn't stage a fight in front of him, but say we were driving and we had a disagreement and, you know, we started arguing, but then he could see that one of us usually said, "I'm sorry," or one of us said, "You know, I didn't really understand when you said that," or the way I heard you say that felt like a slap in my face, or felt, you know, like I was less than, or like I was foolish. And then the other one got to say, no, that's not what I meant, you know. And so my son could see that. And, you know, you may differ from me, but I hear my son now actually help people with their arguments. And he learned it at home. So that's just something he learned. But also, something on a positive note, you might think arguing isn't positive. I think it is. It's good. You don't always agree. But also, write love letters. I will write, you know, I stay up late sometimes, and so then I'm washing my face, and my husband's sound asleep and has been for 3, 4, 5 hours, and I'll see a little pen and a little piece of paper, and I will write something silly, and I'll put it where he'll see it. I'll put it on top of his phone in the bathroom or on the mirror. And those are the little things, I think, that are just really important and a way that you're not taking each other for granted. And he loves it. I made him a lunch recently. He didn't ask me. And I put it right near the coffee maker, and I put, you know, "I love you. Have a great day." And he called me up in the middle of the day and said that what that meant to him. And he said, "Thanks for making me lunch. That was awesome." Yeah. So that is really something I think is a really good tip. And, of course, be kind to each other. Boo had a whole show on BYO Brilliance on being kind. And I think that is to remember with your mate and your immediate family to be kind. I think that is really, really important. I think to realize that bottling up your feelings is never really a good thing, and that is goes along with the arguing. So, you know, tell them your feelings. And sometimes people want to wait. If someone's really heated, they might want to wait until at a calmer moment. Sometimes my husband and I, we tend to get cranky when our blood sugar runs low or when we're really tired, and so we'll be short with each other. And sometimes I think you know, even if you wait for a little while until they're more calm, maybe you get some food in them, and then you say, you know, and I've done this, you know, when you said that, I had to stop myself from biting your head off. And what I realized is that you were cranky, and so I just wanted you to know that wasn't okay. And, you know, my husband is awesome. He has learned. He says, "I'm sorry, you're right, that wasn't okay, and I'm sorry." So that's a really good thing.
Yeah. Well, thing for arguing, the main thing is that because children really respond to the inflection in your voice. So if I would use the word discuss rather than argue, but I think argue tends to take it to another level where you do start to get heated. But discussion is, you know, you don't necessarily have to agree when it comes to discussion. You can have staunchly different opinions, but you when you're discussing, it's like, well, I don't really feel that that's true, or I'm not convinced that that's the way it is, but you still have a sort of calm, assertive discussion. That's better than when people are starting to get heated. It's like, I told you such and such, and you're making me angry, and, you know, when that kind of stuff, of course, as you discussed, it's more important to say, I feel this way, whatever, because we can't make anybody do anything. Mel will love that phrase. But the thing is, we can't make anybody else do anything, but we are in charge of, we are in control of our own reactions and our own emotions. And if you're discussing someone, something with somebody, you must first remember that this is your loved one. And is it more important about being right, or is it more important about being loving? And so getting heated has no place in that. It's just, if you're getting heated in any relationship, you're getting overly emotional, and that's because you're invested in a certain outcome. And if you're doing that, then you're no longer discussing anything. You know, then it comes about being more spoiled, like my way or the highway.
However.
So, yeah. So I think but your use of arguing, I think, is actually more discussion. That's my opinion. And I think that, yeah, if you're going to use it from that type of definition, arguing is good because, yes, it does give your children an opportunity to learn how to discuss things without, you know, hitting each other over the head, and try not to raise your voice, especially around children.
However,
because
however,
they're hearing that more than the words you're using.
Yes, true.
You
now,
be,
however, boo, I have
yeah.
to say, and I'm gonna assume that G might agree with me. However, I am married to a lawyer. He loves to argue. G might not be married to a lawyer, but he's married to someone that could have been a lawyer. And
I'm going to assert that your attorney, hubby, likes to debate things. And there's a big difference between arguing and debating.
Although he's changed this, which I'm really grateful for. And it's a testimony to his self-growth. But he used to yell more. He used to fly off the handle. And
he's an attorney who was more invested in winning. You can see that with good and bad debate teams. If you've ever watched any debates like that are high school or junior high debate teams, the teams that, you know, are more invested in the outcome versus their style and their discussion, the ones who are more invested in the outcome of winning are the ones that get overly emotional and reactive. The ones who actually
he would say before that he had a little bit of rageaholic syndrome, that he would be rageful. Maybe driving in the car, that was the worst of it because he missed an exit. I mean, literally, he could go off the handle. And he really hasn't been too badly about being right. He just had excess rage in him, and it would come out in certain situations.
So this reminds me of when Dr. Dyer was saying that people are choosing certain moments for them to play out their frustrations. You know,
right.
So it's like, when's the best time for you to do that? When you know that people are going to piss you off when you're behind the wheel. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's sort of like, here's another opportunity for me to, like, really unleash my anger. Because you're not dealing with something at another time in your life. And I would assert that any attorney who would like to do trial work is most likely into debating. If you're not into debating, then you would hate trial work, and you most likely would get more into litigation, you know, because you're just the thought, it would probably make you sick to constantly have to confront people in such a manner.
Right.
But I think
for instance,
myself, really, I think we both like to debate things. because we like chopping them up, and, you know, it's interesting. But I don't think that either one of us will, you know, if he was dealing with his rage, then I can see that. But I play with it myself, which is what's frustrating to most people that know me. Because, you know, I switch sides in a heartbeat in the middle of a, you know, our discussion just to see if the other person holds down.
However, so my point is that sometimes I had to raise the intensity in my voice to get him to listen, because he could argue over me in a heartbeat. And he would go, "Why are you yelling?" And I would say, "Because I feel like you're not listening to me." And it would give him pause, and then he would listen. But and then I also realized when, you know, like there were times in the car that I didn't. Okay, I feel like I'm getting off track here. So I want to I want to talk more.
We'll
have
to have a discussion about that another time.
You should. We definitely will have to. But
yeah,
also,
arguments, discussions, and debating.
Right.
Great.
Yeah, I think that would be communicating effectively. Communicating.
Yeah, we'll have to have Mike on there because that would be fun.
Yeah. Oh, it would be. Okay, so now I think that this is a good tip, and that is to make an effort to tidy up after yourself. I think that's a really good one. I think it just eases a lot of tension. Like they say, the biggest fights in marriage are cleaning, and believe it or not, cleaning, sex, and money. I think those are good to get on track. But I think making a little effort to pick your socks up off the floor and put them in the dirty clothes goes a whole long way, or to clean your plate or whatever. And then I think that a real important one is to act silly together. You guys know that was in my vows, and that has saved our marriage. I think if we had to count how many times it has saved our marriage, it would be more fingers and toes than we could think of. But to act silly together, and sometimes that means to, like, turn up the music and start dancing with great abandon, or go hear your favorite band. In fact, my husband and I were talking recently about, hey, we haven't gone to see anybody lately. And, yeah, you know, there hasn't been any – there's been a few people. I missed them. But anyway, I really believe in dancing. I think dancing cheek to cheek, or dancing wildly, or whatever, just, you know, just move your body and have a good time. I think those are things that I want to talk about. That's pretty much what I wanted to say to my beautiful newly married niece and nephew, Samantha and Kevin. But what would you – have advice for, Boo? I know you'll have something good. What did you write down? Do you remember?
Well, what I wrote was the big piece of advice. It's sort of on to the taking for granted. Mostly it's like you don't know what's going to happen in the next, you know, few minutes or whatever. And so my suggestion is, so when you're either partying or when you're any time that you're getting ready to depart from each other, or even if one's going to sleep and the other one isn't, you know, the best thing that you can probably do is look at it as you don't know if you're going to have another moment. You know, being in a relationship where you don't know if you're going to have another moment, and the next moment makes things so much more treasured. So when somebody goes to sleep, you know, make sure you take a second look when they're leaving. Make sure that, you know, you get an opportunity to, like you said, touch them in some way, or possibly kiss them, or tell them, you know, I'm so glad that you're alive, or some wonderful, sweet thing to say. Because even, like, for instance, I've said to Caetano many times when I was bothered, and it's like, I love you, but I don't like you. And he'll say, yeah, I know you don't, honey. I know. It's like he, you know, it's just some things that I do when I'm feeling, you know, bothered. But when I, you know, he recognizes it, and he'll laugh, and I'll kind of laugh. But I, at least I'm able to get out that I'm, you know, feeling frustrated. But I don't know, you know, the next minute if he's going to be gone. You know, I have no idea. I'll be gone. So
right.
The one thing that I, just to try to remember that, I mean, I've called my friends back to tell them I'm sorry if I was sort of this, even if they didn't answer. I've called them back to say, you know, I might have been a little harsh or this or that. And I usually take a moment to think about whatever conversation I've just had with somebody. Sometimes my friends, it's late and I can't call them right away, but I will talk about it the next time I speak to them. You know, mm-hmm. I hope I wasn't, you know, harsh or. So to me, it's like, you know, cherishing the person, cherish them, because they are, there is no guarantee that they'll be there the next time. And I say this mostly coming from when a good friend that I used to work with, and we both were bus drivers, and there was a disturbed person on his bus that both of us drove. We used to be on the same bus route, and I came off the road in the afternoon before I went back out, and, you know, he was on the news because that disturbed man shot him, and he went over a 50-foot bridge and landed on an apartment building with a 60-foot bus. And I just, all I kept thinking is, you go out to do your job at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like, it's just a job, it's a bus driving job. You know, you shouldn't be dead before you get a chance to just call your boys and say, I absolutely adore you. And he was
right.
One of those dads who just absolutely loved his little, his boys were teenagers. But he was just this really great person. And I often thought about that. Like, when people leave for work, they're not generally thinking, I may not see them again.
Right.
So if you're in a relationship and you're newly married, and you remember just even that, you know,
right.
What's the last thing that they're going to remember, that the last experience they had with me?
Yeah.
And yeah, when I do sort of, you know, when I am harsh with my sweetie, it weighs on my mind, you know, to the point where I may not talk to him for a couple of days, but it weighs on me really, really, really tough. So just think about that. If you want a perfect marriage, then try not to take 1 second for granted, because when it's gone and you can't get it back, these are the kind of moments, the ones that you just took for granted, that will haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing you had in your survey was, what have you learned about being in a loving relationship? That was your last question.
Wow, and I wish I remember what I put, because I'm sure it was dang good. No, I have learned so much that literally I don't even know that I could cover it all in a whole show, but I think one of the most cherished things I've learned is how to really make someone feel special. And I feel like I do that for my husband, and consequently he does it for me too. So we do it for each other.
What I've learned about being in a loving relationship is to laugh and laugh often. And more than anything, pick out some key phrase, I don't care what it is, that you guys can say to one another that will snap you back to what matters most. What I used to do to Gaetano, when he'd say, honey, and he'd be frustrated and he'd be upset because I was kind of riding him, like I play kind of harsh. I play with razor teeth. And he said, honey, he was getting upset, and I said, honey, tiger paws, honey. Tigers like to, you know, they put their paws in each other. And then I said, and I'm just, you know, just a little tiger bite, because, you know, that's the way they play with each other and they nuzzle each other. And I, and so that's what we say to each other when things are getting really rough. It's just like tiger paws. And both of us will start laughing, even when we don't want to. But find something.
Right.
Yeah.
I told Samantha that the other day. Mike and I have a code that we do, we say, and when we're feeling cranky, we say, I'm feeling poopy, or we'll say poopy, and poopy means that, you know, forgive me, I'm just feeling short because I haven't eaten, or whatever. Or we also have this little thing that we do, and that is we will stick our tongue out the side of our mouth just very little, like just the tip of it. And so when you know, maybe I've said something that I shouldn't have said, and then he'll look over at me and I got my tongue sticking out just a little bit, and he thinks that's hilarious. So anyway, so then we crack each other up, like, okay, we didn't mean it, it's all right. So and I told Samantha, because when you're getting married and you know, you want your day, you know, I'm going to put air quotes up there, to be perfect. And, you know, and things are about just bound to happen that are not in your repertoire or not what you wanted. And if you can just laugh it off or you have that word, then it really helps. And that's, I told Samantha, I texted her and I said, you know, have a code word that, you know, that means something, like, cut me some slack because I'm under some stress right now. And you can use it all through your marriage. I want to back up about what you said about realizing how important the other person is and to not take each other for granted and when you're leaving each other. And the reason in my family we always say I love you whenever we walk out the door, even if it's just to walk out to, you know, go down a block to go to the store, whatever, is because I, too, had a friend. I had several friends that passed when I was really, really young. And when I first got with my husband, he told me how much he loved his family, his brothers and sisters. And I said, have you told them lately? And he said, no, I haven't. And I said, well, I think it's really important. I would really love for you to tell them, to tell them that you love them. And he would report to me when he would tell one of his siblings that he loved them. And I told him why, because I had lost several dear friends. And you just never have that moment again sometimes. And you just don't know when that's going to be. And age, there's no age that it happens or anything.
Right.
So I think just to play it safe, say it often to the people that you love and every time you leave them. And anyway, the person he said his sibling he loved the most was his brother. And it took him he was the last person he told. And that's, I think, one of the things that I've given to his whole family is more expression of love to his whole family. So we all say it. Anyway, you guys, on that note, I do want to tell you all, the people in the chat room, the people that may listen to this, I love you very, very much. Love yourself as well. And then maybe you can call me sometime to tell me how much you love me. But I hope that I've made a difference in your life. Brenda has made a big difference in mine with her radio show, with her both radio shows, actually, BYO Brilliance and Filmcology. And you can check out our schedule anytime you want on the Essence of Success Radio Network, and that's Blog Talk Radio /Lennis. And, you know, go to our websites and maybe write us any kind of comments that you have, and make sure you're doing something special for this beautiful summer day. I'm at a wedding, and I'm going to have a really good time. Thank you all so much. I can't play the closing song, but you all know what it is. It's All You Need Is Love.
I can put it up there if you want,
okay,
but it's up to you. Did you want to go over your schedule, or why don't you tell us, let's just at least tell us what you're going to be doing next week, your interview?
I am. I'm going to be interviewing Chrissy Bales. She's an illustrator of, I believe, over 50 books. She's an amazing artist, and I'm her childhood friend. We met each other, got to know each other in the sixth grade, and she is amazing. We're going to be talking about creativity and how it affects our lives in a positive manner. So, tune in next Saturday at 2 o'clock Pacific time. And like I said, you can look at all, unless you want to go through the lineup, you can do that.
I can. It's up to you. I have it right here.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah, why don't you
Okay.
do that?
Well, after this show on Sunday at 3 p.m., you can hear psychic readings by Lennis. She takes one or two questions from people when they call in, and she does a psychic reading, connects to their family or spirit or whatever. She's got a special going on where every ninth caller gets a free hour-long psychic reading, which usually costs $60. So it's worth it to call in to try to get that psychic reading. So far, nobody's won it. So, try to call in 3 p.m. On Monday, we have the LNB Passage to Empowerment show at 7 p.m., and the show on Monday is Illuminating the Man Cave with Sensitivity. It's part two in our Empowerment of Men, Women, and the Both of Them series. It's basically the Unleashing Your Power or Realizing Your Power three-part special. And on that show, we're going to have Nina likes to say someone from Hollywood, which would be my brother, who was an actor, stage, and screen. His name is Mark Berry. Some of you may know him, Captain Reedy, Trinity, and a few other movies. My other brother, David, who is both of our oldest brother at this time, and my sweetie, Gaetano, and it would be interesting to try to avoid getting roasted on that show. But anyway, so there will be three men with three different perspectives on realizing their power. So hope you join us for that on Monday. Then on Tuesday, BYO Brilliance will be doing the Brilliance of Volunteering. That's at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we'll have In the Studio with Lennis at 7 p.m. And she does hot topics, sports, news of the weird, and just whatever comes up. It's her show. That's usually her big party show. So you might want to tune in with her and Chabonet and find out what they're talking about. On Thursday, you can join us for Filmcology. That's Film and Psychology put together. The movie at 6 p.m. will be Baby Boom, one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite actors, Diane Keaton. So we're lightening things up a little for the summer, folks. So join us then on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have Friday Traffic Jams with Lennis. Not sure what musical style. It's sort of a surprise. It comes out at 5 p.m. And that brings us to Time to Love next week at 2 p.m. with Lydia in her interview with Chrissy Vales. So looking forward to that because I have a book I might want her to illustrate.
Cool.
And that's where we're at. Now, if you want to hold on, folks, we do have, when you're ready, you just tell me when and I'll cue up your music there.
Would you cue up the music and also end the episode? I'd appreciate that. Thanks for your help and for being there always. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, here we go.
I love
no,
you.
Don't hang up until it finishes or you'll cut us all off, okay?
All righty. I won't. I can't even find my phone.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say but you can learn how to play the game. Easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that
Mel said, great show, Lydia. It was a great show. It'll be a good gift for your niece and nephew. Okay. I think that's it, folks. Have a good night.